Madhava Kundaliyai. Kupi Janna Malaba Kirivardhanai. Gopi Jana Malaba Girivardhanai. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjavihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjavihari. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Paramjakacharya Ashtur Shri Shiva Vidyamayam Vaisa Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Kuri Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Iskan Samastapika Charya Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Sila Haridas Taku Ki Jai Premsa Ekoho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Sri Mukunda Radha Kunda Govardhan Ki Sri Vrindavan Ki Jai Sri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Tosi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yadarambeshu Nirvino Virakta Samyatendriya Abhyasinatmano Yogi Darayet Achalam Manaha Yada Rambeshu Nirvino Virakta Sanyatendriya Abhyasenat Mano Yogi Darayet achalam manaha. Please chant. Yadaram deshu nirvino. Yadaram deshu nirvino. Yadaram deshu nirvino. Yadaram Yadarambeshu nirvino. Yadarambeshu nirvino. One more lady. Yada. When? Arambeshu. In material endeavors. Nirvina. Hopeless. Virakta. Detached. Samyata. Completely controlling. Indriya, the senses, Abhyasena, by practice, Atmana, of the soul, Yogi, the transcendentalist, Dorayet, should concentrate, Achalam, steady. Mana. The mind. Translation and purport. A transcendentalist, having become disgusted and hopeless in all endeavors for material happiness, completely controls the senses and develops detachment. By spiritual practice, he should then fix the mind on the spiritual platform without deviation. The inevitable result of material sense gratification is disappointment and pain that sears the heart. One becomes gradually hopeless and despondent in material life. Then, receiving good instructions from the Lord or his devotee, one transforms one's material disappointment into spiritual success. Actually, Lord Krishna is our only true friend. And this simple understanding can bring one to a new life of spiritual happiness in the company of the Lord. Can you put the screen back on the synonyms, please? Omagena timarandasya genanjana shvakaya chakshusun militamina tasmai shri gurave namaha. Sri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam jena gutale swayam. Rupa Kuna Mayam Dadati Swa Padantika Maneham Sri Guru Sri Uta Parakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavam Scha Sri Rupam Shagajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Tam Sajivam Sarvitam Savad Utam Prajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Malita Sri Vishakam Vitam Scha Hare Krishna, Karuna, Sindhu, Dinabandhu, Jagatpate, Gopisha, Gopi, Kakanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostute. Tapta Kanchana, Gorangi, Radhe, Vrindavan, Ishwari, Vishra, Panam, Suta, Devi, Pranamami, Hari Priye. Manchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavani Vyuvaishnavinyo Namo Namo. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yadam Ram Besu Nirvino Viraktasam Yatendriya Abhya Senat Mano Yogi Darayad Achalam Mana. So we have some topics such as steady concentration and detachment and sense control. And one other topic, feeling hopeless or disgusted with material activities. The word, first word, yadam, ram beshu. Yadam means when, and arambe means when you're in the act of doing something or when you inaugurate some activity. So this verse is saying when you come to the point where inaugurating activity or acting makes you feel hopeless, the implication is that material endeavors, you're getting sick of material endeavors. The word material endeavors is not actually in the Sanskrit, but it's implied. And the important word is nirvana. Nirvana means you become hopeless about inaugurating activities or disappointed. You're feeling morose with what's happened in the past when you acted. Even distressed, or sometimes just feeling detached, like, I'm not going to bother anymore. To heck with it. Just the opposite. I'll give you one example. A lady who was in charge of the archives at the New York Philharmonic Orchestra retired recently. She was in the news. So what's she going to do? Is she going to take up spiritual life? Well, not quite. Her plan is to inaugurate research at the University of Oxford, because she has in her possession a diary that was written by the person who founded the New York Philharmonic Orchestra. So she wants to do all the research on this person and come up with a PhD dissertation and be further recognized as a great archivist at the end of her life. So isn't that wonderful? She's still getting energy from the material energies. This is on the material platform. The Bhagavatam says that the people who are in contact with the material energy, they're sometimes considered very great. But the transcendentalist doesn't regard them like that. Here what's being glorified is a feeling of hopelessness or detachment from materialistic endeavors. One should come to that stage. Sometimes that's considered very negative. Some scholars say that the Vedic worldview is very discouraging. But there's a higher purpose to give up material endeavors and fix the mind on the spiritual platform. So we'll discuss these themes today. The Vedabase, of course, is a great tool. I was able to use the Vedabase yesterday to find 8 references, verses, that use the word nirvana, this word that means hopeless, or morose, or disgusted, or distressed. So we'll do a little survey now. And the first one is in the fourth canto. The saintly King Unga had a son named Venu, who had a very crooked character. King Unga was very disappointed, nirvana. He was very disappointed with Vena's bad character. So he left home and his kingdom, and he went out to the forest. So that's considered ideal. Then in the seventh canto, the word nirvana is translated as completely detached from material desires. And it's used by, in description of Prahlad Maharaj, who's praying, "Oh, Supreme Personality of Godhead, I'm very much afraid of material conditions. I feel completely detached from material desires, nirvana. I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It's for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet." So we're sometimes encouraged, you know, to recite the prayers of the great devotees. So this is a prayer to the Lord. I'm coming to the shelter of your lotus feet, O Lord, because I feel completely detached from material desires. They don't feel part of me. These material desires feel like they're not part of me. I'm detached from them. We'll talk a little more about detachment later. In the ninth canto, Maharaj Parikshit hears from Shukadeva Goswami about a personality named Yayati. Yayati was very attached to women. And he enjoyed for many years. But he's glorified, he's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, because when he felt disgusted with sexual enjoyment, the word is nirvana, disgusted with sexual enjoyment and its bad effects, he renounced this way of life. He told his dearly beloved wife, the daughter of Shukracharya, a story. This story is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. He said to his wife, "In this world there was someone exactly like me. Please listen as I narrate the history of his life." By hearing about the life of such a householder, those who have retired from householder life always lament. So it's a story meant to teach about the bad effects of householder life. I won't go into the story, but the idea here, the theme is that the vanaprastas generally lament about their past family life because it engaged them in trying to fulfill their lusty desires. Again, Prahlad Maharaj, he said that one should retire from family life as soon as possible when one is still young, when one has still strength to organize a vanaprastha life. One shouldn't wait until one is bedridden And then he doesn't have any energy to organize the vanaprastha life. He should do it when he's like 50, still has energy. He can take 25 years to organize his vanaprastha life. Prahlad Maharaj described family life. You know, he saw the life of his father, Hiranyakasipu. It was really materialistic. It was all about opulence and power and enjoyment. So he saw this family life as the darkest well. And Prahlad said, if one permanently concentrates on living with his family, he should be understood to be killing himself. That was mentioned in the verse yesterday, Madhumati. You pointed out this killer of the soul idea. The soul can't be killed, but Krishna says there's a way in which if you live, you're going against the best interest of the soul. So you're trying to kill your soul. Just very briefly, the story that Yayati told was about a he-goat who was wandering in the forest, eating to enjoy his senses. And he came to a well, he approached the well, and he saw a she-goat standing in the well. She had fallen in the well. And Yayati compared himself to the he-goat, and he compared his wife, Devayani, to the she-goat. So he described the nature of a man and a woman. Like a he-goat, a man searches for sense gratification, and a woman without the shelter of a man or a husband is like a she-goat who's fallen into the well. So Yayati renounced this life. He accepted Devayani as his wife and had sex life not only with her but with other women, like Sarmista is mentioned. And even though he had so much sex enjoyment, he was dissatisfied. So he retired from family life. Many of our grihasthas in ISKCON may be doing better than Maharaj Yayati. He wasn't doing so well in household life. And it's possible that the householders could go into Vanaprastha and lead the way in new preaching projects, just as Srila Prabhupada did. He felt that his grihastha life wasn't favorable to his spiritual advancement, so he took Vanaprastha and prepared for sannyas and for preaching in the West. There's a possibility for grihasthas, for example, to teach other grihasthas in ISKCON, younger grihasthas. There's this grihastha course, and the people who organized it, they want grihastha couples to teach it, to travel and teach it to other grihasthas in temples. But naturally, some grihasthas feel inclined to remain with their spouses, who remain at home, and teach the grandchildren about Krishna consciousness, because they don't see anything unfavorable in their circumstances, because they have a Krishna conscious family life. It's not a worldly kind of grihastha life, like a grihamedi. But there are, you know, others in ISKCON, like some sannyasis, they're encouraging the grihasthas. Hey, you have to get out. It's time for vanaprastha. You know, you should become detached from your home. Spend time away from your home. Spend time without your wife, in some cases. Get used to vanaprastha. So that's kind of an obvious direction that the verse today leads to, you know, you begin to talk about detachment and vanaprastha life. Now, going back to our survey, in the 10th canto, this word nirvana is used in connection with a famous verse. Srila Prabhupada cited this verse. He said it applied to him personally. It has to do with Krishna favoring a devotee by depriving a devotee of his wealth. And then the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him, you know. I don't want anything to do with this guy. He doesn't have money. And in this way, the person suffers. He feels distress. And his attempts to make money are frustrated. Krishna doesn't let him make any more money. Prabhupada said this happened to him. He wanted to be a successful grihastha, use his Lakshmi in Krishna's preaching mission. And somehow, at some point, Krishna frustrated those attempts. And Prabhupada said, okay, I'm giving it up. And I'm going to go into the mat. I'm going to take vanaprastha and go into the activities of the Gaudiya mat, associate more with the devotees. And Krishna says, I bestow my mercy upon devotees in this way. Prabhupada took it. One of his godbrothers, I think Srila Sridhar Swami, said, Krishna's doing this to you, Bhaktivedanta. You're being deprived of your wealth. So that verse also uses this nirvana. One becomes frustrated in his material attempts. Then just one more example of nirvana from the 11th canto, the famous emperor Pururava. Pururava was deprived of his wife, Urvasi. After many years of being with her, she left him, and he was lamenting so much, and to control his lamentation, he began to feel detachment, nirvana, the verse says. She was a beautiful heavenly lady, but she separated herself from him. And in the Bhagavatam, he sings a song expressing his contempt for womanly connection. The song says that persons who are attached to the body of a woman or a man, which is simply a mass of skin, flesh, blood, bones, brain tissue, people like that are not much different from worms. Because worms, you know, will attach themselves to a body and eat the body when it's dead. Pururava's song asks a question, what's the worth of the education, austerity, renunciation, reception of the Vedas, solitary living, and mona, or silence? What's the worth of all these achievements if the person who has these achievements, his mind is stolen away by the body of a woman? After declaring these facts, King Pururava, now freed from the illusion of material existence, attained realization of the Supreme Lord in his form as the indwelling Supersoul. So the Bhagavatam glorifies this learning curve, you could say. Okay, you may be very worldly, but through this process of nirvana, detachment, feeling morose about materialistic life, disappointed, you'll come to higher a level. That's what this verse is about, isn't it? A previous verse, number 8 in this chapter, just 10 verses back, it says the same thing. If somehow or other, by good fortune, one develops faith in hearing and chanting Krishna's glories, such a person who's not very much attached to material life can achieve perfection through the path of loving devotion. But he should not be falsely detached. The Bhagavatam says there's such a thing like false detachment. This is the impersonalist form of detachment, where one just says, you know, the example is sour grapes. The fox can't reach the grapes. The fox wants to eat the grapes on the vine, but can't reach them all. So he says, those grapes aren't any good anyhow. So the materialist, he may be attracted, you know, to enjoy the juice of the taste of material life. But then he may think, well, the way to do that is I'll just give up all material activity and I'll take to some philosophical speculation. I'll become an impersonalist and I'll stamp out any trace of personal existence. I'm tired of personal existence. It's not making me happy. So that's considered falsely detached. One actually has to become attached to devotional service to succeed in this. And in this chapter, we're also discussing those who are not yet disgusted with material life. They can go ahead with it. They want to fulfill their desires so they can practice karma yoga. It's not that material life is condemned. Okay, you can have material life and material enjoyment through the path of karma yoga. But these verses in this chapter are telling us you should know that your duration of life is being cut down by the passing of the days and the nights. And you should be shaken up by this. You should feel some fear that my life is coming to an end and give up attachment and desire and understand better the Supreme Lord and achieve perfect peace. There's some nice Sanskrit words used for this. Understanding the Supreme Lord. Param is the word for the Supreme Lord. And Buddha, with your buddhi, intelligence, Buddha, understand the Supreme. So that's the description of the word Nirvana. Now, there's two more topics that we'll briefly discuss in this verse. Control of the senses and the mind is the first one that's recommended here today. Samyata means completely controlling. Indriya, the senses. Madhumati, yesterday you mentioned Bilva Mangala. His eyes turned out to be his enemies because they were looking at women and feeling awakening lust. So he plucked out his eyes with hairpins, a dramatic example of a devotee trying to stop material desire. And you said, okay, well, we may not have to pluck out our eyes, but we should pluck our desires. This is confirmed by Krishna, actually, in Bhagavad Gita. In the second chapter, toward the end, in verse 55, just after Arjuna asks him what are the characteristics of a person who is situated in detachment and controls the senses, the verse is Prajahati yada kaman, kaman means desires, sarvan partha manogatan, manogatan means the desires arise from the mind. So Krishna says, when a person gives up all desires that arise from the mind, Prajahati yada kaman, sarvan partha manogatan. So that's in a way, that's like giving up a part of ourselves. We identify so strongly with the mind and with the desires that come up in the mind and the plans for happiness that we think of, that if we are told by the Shastra, now give up those, focus on giving those up. They're coming from the mind, that's not the best platform. We might think, well, that's like giving up a part of myself. And in a way it is, it's like a kind of death to the Atma that is the mind. The Atma that's the mind has to kind of die, according to Krishna's advice. And the rest of the verse, Atmani, Evatmana, Tushta, one has to be satisfied by the self within the self, the spiritual self, not the mind, not find satisfaction on the Atma, the mind level, but the eternal self, that is said to be situated in profound knowledge. Stita prajna. Stita prajna stadochute. Stita means situated. Prajna means in knowledge. Now, we have knowledge, you know, at our fingertips. We can look at the Bhagavad Gita, and we've done it many times, and we pick up the ideas, I'm not this body. But what's the difference between us and Srila Prabhupada, for example? We see in Srila Prabhupada's example how he was situated in this knowledge. His whole life was living this knowledge. We may have it theoretically, or we may even be developing it to the point where we're situating ourselves in the knowledge. But to be situated in the knowledge like Prabhupada was, we have to succeed in what Krishna is recommending. Give up all desires that arise from the mind and be satisfied in the self all the time. So that's what we're working for. And we're doing this by being detached and controlling the senses. Virakta, detached. Samyat is the word for completely controlling the senses. This appears twice in Bhagavad Gita. The first time in the important verse 261, the first verse in which Krishna introduces the idea to Arjuna of meditating on Krishna, meditating on Him. Matpara. One should, with steady intelligence, meditate on me, or have a relationship with me, in relationship with me, Krishna says. Matpara, matpara. Holy, holy, completely intent on me. And Maharaj Ambarish is given as the example. There's a verse in the ninth canto about how Maharaj Ambarish engaged all his different senses in the service of the Lord. So this verse 261, Samyat is mentioned in the first line. Tani sarvani samyam samyamya yukta asita matpara vasehi yasyendriyani, the senses, tasya prajna pratishtita. That way one is situated in profound knowledge by keeping the senses under control and fixing the consciousness on Krishna. He's known as a man of steady intelligence. Restraining all the senses, one should be absorbed in yoga, connection with the supreme holy intent on Krishna. For that one, profound knowledge is established. Our minds become fixed on the spiritual platform. That's recommended. And the second time in Bhagavad Gita, this Samyat comes up. It's in 439. One who is full of faith obtains knowledge. Being devoted to that with the senses perfectly controlled, and one achieves supreme peace. Shradaval labate gyanam tatpara samyatendriya. Samya, samyatendriya. Completely controlling the senses, samyatendriya. Gyanam labha param shantim, supreme peace. A man, a faithful man, Shradaval, a faithful man dedicated to transcendental knowledge who subdues his senses is eligible to receive such knowledge, and having achieved it, he quickly attains this supreme peace. But a person who lacks this faith, who's full of doubt, his self is destroyed. Again, he kills himself. So a good book, one good book about all this is Vanity Karma. Jayadvaita Swami is tracing in the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita themes about feeling that material life is hopeless. He connects these themes with Ecclesiastes, one of the books in the Bible, written by a seer, a person who was disillusioned. He felt hopeless and detached about material endeavors and about gaining knowledge in this world. And he wrote his book Ecclesiastes. So that's compared here to the Bhagavad Gita. And both books discuss the meaning of life. And Jayadvaita Swami brings in from the Bhagavatam also many themes about the meaning of life. Any questions on these points? No? And what?
The circumstance with Yayati and the other women, this was Sharmishta, was the daughter.
So far you said Yayati was, he turned out to be a great preacher, and you're saying his son? Sarmista pushed Devayani into the well.
Yeah, Devayani. So Yayati took out Devayani. But Sarmista had to become the slave of Devayani. So she was living with Devayani in the kingdom. Yeah.
Okay, Sarmista lived with her husband, and she was his slave. She was Devayani's slave.
Some
sons, yeah. Yayati and Sarmishta had sons. Sure. Otherwise, he wouldn't be glorified. Dharmaraj. They base success on the relatives?
Say, you know, it's kind of a play of words. Success is relative. The more success, the more relatives. The less success, less relatives.
Okay, so they're playing. Dharmaraj is saying he came across an example of playing with the word relative. The more success is relative. Okay, success is relative. That's the statement. And then it goes on and says, the more success you have, the more relatives you have. The less success, the fewer relatives you have. Even the karmis have that idea that's in the Bhagavatam, that your relatives will reject you if you don't have enough money. And they'll say, who is this useless guy? No money. Karmis also think like that. If you don't have many relatives, you're not... You must not be successful.
Even in Babylon also, there's that statement that the husband is an enemy if he's indebted. So successful, he has a lot of debt.
That's right. The husband or the father is considered an enemy of the family if he's indebted, if he has many, many debts. Trouble for the family. Is that all? Le Mataji. Yeah.
Okay. And so, if one is detached, but they're in the middle of service of life, you know, you got family, you got kids, you say in this one movie, you walked away and went to the forest. But what about duty, and how do you balance that? In other words, you know, as a female, I can't just walk away from my kids and my duty as a mom, right? Even if I am completely detached, and I'd love to go to the forest and not deal with the world, right?
Uh-uh.
But I have this duty, this responsibility, so that would make me irresponsible, even
sure.
though I'm nurturing the soul by surrendering fully to Krishna.
Yeah, you have to. A householder has to execute his duty to the family and his duty of surrendering to Krishna within the ashram, the Grihastha ashram. So that means teaching the children Krishna consciousness, and later you can, you know, when the children are grown, you can pursue life in the forest, so to speak, or being away from home. There are some older godbrothers of mine who are away from their family. Their children have grown up, their sons and daughters are married or in college, and they're out away. You know, for example, I think you know these people. I was thinking of them last night, yesterday. Badahari is an example. You know, he's traveling all the time now with Indradumna Swami in Russia and many, many places, Europe and Poland. And his wife joins him sometimes. I was at the Woodstock Festival one year. They were together. But he's really, you know, he's associating with the sannyasi and traveling and preaching to hundreds and thousands of people. And Dinabandhu, you know, he's lived in Vrindavan, the forest of Vrindavan. He's lived in the forest for many years because he likes Vrindavan. But Akuti doesn't so much. He's told me Akuti doesn't like India so much, so she prefers to be here. So they're separated in Vanaprastha stage, you know. But doing a lot of preaching as Vanaprasthas.
So you mentioned though, like the idea of taking Vanaprastha and leaving, versus you mentioned something about like the grandfather who wanted to stay home and teach all the grandkids Krishna.
Yeah, because, you know, it's favorable, in a sense, it's favorable to teach the younger generations about Krishna consciousness. Because in the West, the kids don't have so many role models, or the society in general is not Krishna conscious. In India, the tradition is, you know, the families go to the temple in the evening. If you go to the temples in the cities like Mumbai, in the evening, the whole family comes to the temple for the aarti. It's just a tradition, and donating to the temple. But if, you know, in America, family life isn't like that. So some of the devotees who are the age of grandparents now, they say, well, you know, I can really help my grandchildren. Who else is going to train them? Especially, you know, the society as a whole doesn't reinforce the idea that they should be Krishna conscious. So it's important that the relatives stay closer to them and help them, perhaps, huh? Hare Krishna. Thank you. Dhammaram.
Can I make a comment on that? Just one of the very last, among the last instructions that Srila Prabhupada gave, he didn't directly go on any individual, but he just made
doesn't mean, necessarily means that you're not renounced. Being responsible and being, you know, renounced is like two different things. Like Amita was saying, you can stay and deal with it or you can run from it. So sometimes you see that like when, you know, some devotees, and I don't mean to direct to anyone, but I've seen it that some choose to leave home, well, not say leave home, run away from home, be away from that responsibility because they feel like a mental drain on their spiritual life. But if you look at it from a different angle, is it mature? Probably not. So there's a difference. You can be at home and be very responsible and more renounced than the one who leaves. So it's a matter of, you know, being responsible.
Thank you. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.